Sunday, the 28th of August. I'm Brendan Arrow. Coming up on the program, a change at the top of Snowy Hydro. The youth-led movement, March for Our Lives, rallies in Austin, Texas. And Angola's main opposition party rejects the preliminary results of last week's election. The boss of Snowy Hydro resigned last week after being in charge for almost a decade. His departure comes amid reports of cost blowouts and delays. In a statement to the ABC, Mr. Broad said the Snowy 2.0 project had been impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic and supply chain issues, but he rejected the claims of budget blowouts. Shadow Climate Change and Energy Shadow Minister Ted O'Brien says he's concerned about reports that Mr. Broad had been sacked. But Climate Change Minister Chris Bowen did not respond to direct questions from the ABC about these claims. Tim Buckley is an energy analyst and director of Climate Energy Finance and joins us now. Tim, thanks for your time.
Good morning, Brendan.
First up, do you think Paul Broad was pushed out or did he go voluntary?
Well, pushed out is probably how I would read it. It's been in my view, critical for the new government and for Chris Bowen, our energy minister. He needs competent and trusted executives in place that are aligned with the key fiscal and policy objectives of this government. So I think it's a positive move that Chris Bowen is able to actually now appoint someone who's aligned with the objectives of the government and who will therefore be able to drive the completion of Snowy 2.0. And that is going to be a critical enabler of the decarbonisation and move to renewables in Australia. So I think it's a critically important role. It's critically important that Chris Bowen has executives who are aligned with his mission.
Off the top, I mentioned Mr. Broad had denied there'd been a huge cost blowout on the project, but there are reports that it's $2 billion over budget. What's your reading on the situation?
Well, at the end of the day, there's a major report put out in June of this year from the Australian National Audit Office highlighting the magnitude of the costs. When Paul Broad announced with the previous government that the construction of Snowy 2.0 was going to go ahead, he put out a figure of $2 billion. We're now looking, the Australian National Audit Office talks about a $5.1 billion cost. And on top of that, there's probably $3 billion or more needed for new grid transmission to actually facilitate it. And then assuming you take into account other costs and the purchase of Snowy Hydro in the first place from the New South Wales and Victorian government, you're talking about costs approaching $10 billion. There's no way that Mr. Broad can claim that that is anywhere near the $2 billion that was highlighted at the time of this budget.
A gas-fired power plant being built at Kurri Kurri in New South Wales' Hunter Valley is also reportedly at the heart of the tension. What can you tell us about that?
Well, again, if we go back to the stupidity of the previous government, we had the Prime Minister, the then Prime Minister, say that if private industry wouldn't build peaking power or gas power, peaking power for the East Coast electricity market, then the federal government would step up, and obviously private industry refused to actually comply with Scott Morrison's demands. And so Snowy Hydro stepped up and decided to build the Kurri Kurri gas-fired power plant. Now, at the end of the day, that's the federal government picking losers, and that's overruling what is meant to be a free market where we work on private industry actually making informed commercial decisions. I would argue Kurri Kurri was entirely a political decision. That its location was designed entirely to enrich an LNP donor, and Snowy now is halfway through building a gas-fired power plant that doesn't actually have gas at the site. So, I mean, the site was just absolutely diabolically politically motivated. And again, Paul Broad, CEO of Snowy Hydro, has to take responsibility for the debacle that is the gas fired power plant at Kurri Kurri, as well as the cost and budget blowouts at Snowy. So Yeah, ultimately, I think it's really important Chris Bowen be given the best possible shot in delivering what we need, which is sensible policy.
If we can just go back for a moment, could you remind our listeners about what the Snowy Hydro project was all about?
Snowy 2.0 is a critical investment, and at $2 billion, it probably would have been a really, really good move. But at the end of the day, when you have a electricity grid decarbonisation objective, which we now have, the federal government wants to have 82% renewable energy powered electricity by 2030. It's not sunny at night and the wind isn't always blowing. That's a statement of fact. You need firming power, and you need seasonally firmed power because we get less daylight hours and less solar radiation in the middle of winter than we do in the middle of summer. So you need seasonal power supply, and you need flexible peaking power, and Snowy Hydro is critical for delivering that. So as we drive for decarbonisation, we're going to need a lot of demand response management, we're going to need a lot of batteries, and we are probably going to need a gas peaker or two, but there are a number already across the system, and we need pumped hydro storage. So it's all about firming up the grid, diversifying the grid, decarbonising the grid, and driving costs down, because what we all now know is that thermal power is increasingly unreliable, aging, and very, very expensive. Decarbonisation is critical for the climate science. It's also critical for all of us in terms of solving the energy crisis.
You just explained there how important it is for the government's climate change policy, but how far behind schedule is the project?
Well, there are varying reports. I mean, it was announced probably 6 years ago, and now we're looking at maybe coming online 2026, 2027. So at the end of the day, that doesn't leave a lot of room if there are any more blowouts. Now, it's a major construction task that is going to run into potential risks. And so the idea of turning off coal-fired power plants, a number of coal-fired power plants, will be contingent on that. Now, at the end of the day, I think that's what the New South Wales government will work with the federal government to say, well, we want to accelerate the closure of coal, but we can only do it as the firming power like Snowy 2.0 is commissioned, debugged and fully operational. So it is a critically important initiative, and let's hope it's operating by 2026, 2027. That then gives the governments of New South Wales and federally another 3 years to achieve their critically important 82% target.
Just finally, in your view, what should Chris Bowen be doing next? Is there anything he can do to get Snowy 2.0 back on track, or at least stick to that latest deadline?
Well, I think it needs to be really spelled out very clearly. This is a critically important project. We need all hands on deck. We need to have competent senior management in place, and they need to be given a clear mandate. Get this project operational as fast as practical and safely possible. And then also let's incentivise other private industry initiatives. We are seeing the booming nature of batteries across the market. We need to accelerate the rollout of electric vehicles, which are really, in my view, batteries on wheels. But at the end of the day, yeah, as you say, Snowy Hydro 2.0 is a critically important role for that peaking power. It will help drive grid stability, grid reliability, and lower cost electricity prices. But for me, Chris Bowen really needs to just be really aware and move on the fact that the previous government stacked all the boards and all the senior executives with jobs for the boys and climate science deniers. And we did just see the government pass there in the lower house their climate change bill, 43% target by 2030. The Climate Change Authority will play a key role in there. It's stacked with fossil fuel executives. So I'm hoping Chris Bowen is given a clear mandate to clean out the ranks and put in credible, competent, experienced, younger people who accept the climate science and want to act on it with the urgency. We're meant to be a free market where we work on private industry actually making informed commercial decisions. I would argue Kurri Kurri was entirely a political decision, that its location was designed entirely to enrich an LNP donor, and Snowy now is halfway through building a gas-fired power plant that doesn't actually have gas at the site. So, I mean, the site was just absolutely diabolically politically motivated. And again, Paul Broad, CEO of Snowy Hydro, has to take responsibility for the debacle that is the gas-fired power plant at Kurri Kurri, as well as the cost and budget blowouts at Snowy. So Yeah, ultimately, I think it's really important Chris Bowen be given the best possible shot in delivering what we need, which is sensible policy.
If we can just go back for a moment, could you remind our listeners about what the Snowy Hydro project was all about?
Snowy 2.0 is a critical investment, and at $2 billion, it probably would have been a really, really good move. But at the end of the day, when you have a electricity grid decarbonisation objective, which we now have, the federal government wants to have 82% renewable energy powered electricity by 2030. It's not sunny at night and the wind isn't always blowing. That's a statement of fact. You need firming power, and you need seasonally firmed power because we get less daylight hours and less solar radiation in the middle of winter than we do in the middle of summer. So you need seasonal power supply, and you need flexible peaking power, and Snowy Hydro is critical for delivering that. So as we drive for decarbonisation, we're going to need a lot of demand response management, we're going to need a lot of batteries, and we are probably going to need a gas peaker or two, but there are a number already across the system, and we need pumped hydro storage. So it's all about firming up the grid, diversifying the grid, decarbonising the grid, and driving costs down, because what we all now know is that thermal power is increasingly unreliable, aging, and very, very expensive. Decarbonisation is critical for the climate science. It's also critical for all of us in terms of solving the energy crisis.
You just explained there how important it is for the government's climate change policy, but how far behind schedule is the project?
Well, there are varying reports. I mean, it was announced probably 6 years ago, and now we're looking at maybe coming online 2026, 2027. So at the end of the day, that doesn't leave a lot of room if there are any more blowouts. Now, it's a major construction task that is going to run into potential risks. And so the idea of turning off coal-fired power plants, a number of coal-fired power plants, will be contingent on that. Now, at the end of the day, I think that's what the New South Wales government will work with the federal government to say, well, we want to accelerate the closure of coal, but we can only do it as the firming power like Snowy 2.0 is commissioned, debugged and fully operational. So it is a critically important initiative, and let's hope it's operating by 2026, 2027. That then gives the governments of New South Wales and federally another 3 years to achieve their critically important 82% target.
Just finally, in your view, what should Chris Bowen be doing next? Is there anything he can do to get Snowy 2.0 back on track, or at least stick to that latest deadline?
Well, I think it needs to be really spelled out very clearly. This is a critically important project. We need all hands on deck. We need to have competent senior management in place, and they need to be given a clear mandate. Get this project operational as fast as practical and safely possible. And then also let's incentivize other private industry initiatives. We are seeing the booming nature of batteries across the market. We need to accelerate the rollout of electric vehicles, which are really, in my view, batteries on wheels. But at the end of the day, yeah, as you say, Snowy Hydro 2.0 is a critically important role for that peaking power. It will help drive grid stability, grid reliability, and lower cost electricity prices. But for me, Chris Bowen really needs to just be really aware and move on the fact that the previous government stacked all the boards and all the senior executives with jobs for the boys and climate science deniers. And we did just see the government pass there in the lower house their climate change bill, 43% target by 2030. The Climate Change Authority will play a key role in there. It's stacked with fossil fuel executives, so I'm hoping Chris Bowen is given a clear mandate to clean out the ranks and put in credible, competent, experienced, younger people who accept the climate science and want to act on it with the urgency we need.
Tim Buckley, thanks very much for your time here on ABC News Radio.
Thanks, Brendan.
That's Tim Buckley, Energy Analyst and Director of Climate Energy Finance.